Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
It's the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
And the gloss. Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear. On the SportsMap Radio Network.
From the SportsMap Radio Studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Good evening and welcome in, everyone. I'm David Gao, the boss, and normally I'm introducing a show called The Boss and the Gloss, but the gloss is not here. And so today, I guess we're the boss and the Bubba. Craig Larson, you're the Bubba.
I'm the Bubba.
Welcome in. And behind the glass, we've got the inimitable Sean Mapes. Sean, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I have to look up what inimitable means.
Inimitable. Let me say it more clearly that way.
I thought it was an SAT word. I wasn't ready for
it. I'll pop a few on you that way. But let me say that you look a little somber tonight, almost sullen, sad. I mean, is it because the gloss is not here? You miss her, don't you?
Well, yes. There is a little rain cloud that's been over me all day.
I can feel it.
Carla's not in my life. But no, I am excited to be on with the boss and the Bubba.
The boss and the Bubba.
the new addition that we got.
You know, the rumor is that the Raiders have called in Carla to try to cure and fix their anemic offense.
She may be the only thing that can help that team.
That's what I'm thinking. That's the word on the street, is that the Raiders have brought her in as a special assistant.
Well, if so, look out Josh McDaniel, because Carla has not been happy with Josh McDaniel taking over the Raiders and his results thus far. So that is almost assuredly a true statement. All right, but we do have, here we are on Monday night, though we are without the gloss, we do have a great Monday night matchup. I think it's a pretty good matchup. Seahawks 2-1 facing the Giants 1-2. And one of the interesting things thus far in the season has been the up and down ride of Daniel Jones. Tonight he will have to play without Saquon Barkley, his trusted running mate in the back. But you've got Daniel Jones coming off of a tough defeat against the 49ers, where a number of the 49ers were questioning why Daniel Jones had been paid so much money. They were all saying he was an overpaid quarterback. That's a lot of pressure to put on Daniel Jones.
It really is, and we were talking about this before the show, how it very much is a week-to-week league. I mean, think about how Seattle started this season, and everybody was ready to run Pete Carroll out of town, and they've subsequently bounced back after their week one blowout loss to the Rams. And it's just really interesting. It's a week-to-week league. I think the one interesting thing, is Taylor Swift still at MetLife Stadium? I mean, is she going to be in attendance
tonight? I hope so.
I mean, is she there?
I wish that were the case. She adds a little buzz in the building.
Are you fatigued by it yet?
Not at all.
Not at all.
No. My kids are Swifties. At least I've got five kids, and I've got two who are Swifties, and then one who is married a Swiftie. So we're all in on Taylor. And in fact, it was sort of funny last night in the Sunday night football game. You had on one side a celebrity guest in Taylor Swift, and on the other side a celebrity guest in, Aaron Rodgers, not so much a guest, but he was there. Both big presence on the sides for their teams. Who'd you pick? Who'd you like better?
Well, so the word play it doesn't get under your skin yet? Like when Tirico and Collinsworth and all those guys, like, this is a tailor-made matchup for Sunday Night Football. That doesn't really irritate
it
you?
It may get me, but I'm still feeling the
aura. You're still a Swiftie.
There's a little glow that comes when Taylor's okay. in the building.
All right.
I turn into a little bit of the, like, old man. Like, I thought this was a football game, all right? I don't care who's on the sideline. I don't care who's dating who. You know, I did think it got a little bit when Isaiah Pacheco would run in a touchdown and then they'd go to break and they'd be like 14-0 Chiefs. And then as they're going to break, they then just show Taylor Swift in the suite with Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. I was like, and then they just go to break. I'm like, wait, why are they just showing Taylor Swift before going to break?
It's complete overkill. I mean, the NFL should have made Taylor Swift the Super Bowl halftime guest, and then at least every time they did a live shot or cut to her, they could promote the Pepsi halftime show.
Now, well, she's a big-time presence. I will say, Sean, for your curmudgeon comments there about Taylor, why are you wearing her bright red lipstick today? It seems like you're trying to show some support on that regard.
No, I am just blessed, cursed with these beautiful lips, and these beautiful lips are making the noises of enough Taylor Swift. I'm not a Swiftie. I don't have to face the wrath of the Swifties.
Noted.
Like you may have to, and yes. Maybe that's why you're being so diplomatic when talking about Taylor Swift. But I can put it on the record, say it with my chest. Enough already.
Well, I'm sure that's how the Jets felt with the Chiefs coming out with a win last night in Sunday Night Football. We'll get to that game. But I did want to come back to that topic you raised there, Craig. What a topsy-turvy NFL season it is. Remember, just a week ago, the narrative across the NFL was that the Dolphins had the greatest offense the league had ever seen. All that speed. And the word consistently used about the Dolphins offense was unstoppable. That's what everybody said, unstoppable. And yet, the Bills stopped them to a degree. Bills with the win over the Dolphins, probably one of the biggest games yesterday. We'll come back to that game. Just a couple of other topsy-turvy things. It was just a week ago we were saying the Cowboys have had a meltdown. The Cowboys are going nowhere. The Cowboys' defense was just a facade that had beaten up on two really weak offenses. And, of course, their victories were over the Jets, led by Zach Wilson, and the Giants, led by Daniel Jones. And so then when they lost to the Cardinals, the Cowboys were done. Yet they sure looked pretty ripe yesterday with a big-time win over the Patriots. And the last topsy-turvy headline I really wanted to make was that Zach Wilson was a disaster a week ago. And now the narrative is, oh my gosh, look at Zach Wilson. Look what he can do. Robert Saleh deserves all this credit for the patience and the commitment he made to Zach Wilson. Are you buying that? I mean, is it this one game against the Chiefs? And he did show well. That all of a sudden we need to give a new level of respect. Has he ascended to a new level? Is he ascending to a level where we can think maybe the Jets could actually be contenders with Zach Wilson?
Well, I don't believe that because in that division, of course, I mean, it's going to come down to Buffalo and Miami, and they're in a distant fourth place at 1-3. But I will tell you, speaking about the topsy-turvy nature of this thing, we're sitting here at ground zero with the Houston Texans. I mean, 2 weeks ago, 0-2, really got beat up and were out of sync in that opener against Baltimore. And just 14 days, two wins, a .500 record, J.J. Watt going into the Ring of Honor. And all of a sudden, and I shared the schedule with you the remainder of the way, I mean, all of a sudden you start thinking, how deep can this winning streak go? Like Atlanta, New Orleans, Carolina? It's absolutely unbelievable, the next stretch of games that the Texans have. I think not only did Las Vegas have that wrong, they had the win total for the Texans this year at 6.5. They're going to blow past that.
Yeah, it definitely is a situation where you look at the AFC South. Every team is 2-2 right now, which is perfect AFC South football. That's the AFC South football I grew up on. Everyone's .500. And yes, like you mentioned, you look at the schedule. All these games, the Texans are not going to run the table. They're not going to win all these games, but all these games are winnable. There's not a single game on the rest of the Texans schedule where you're like, no chance. Like, you can just mark that as an L right now. They play the NFC South. They play the Jags and Colts again. They play the Titans twice coming up. They have a matchup with the Broncos, the Cardinals. They play the bottom feeders of this league. And before the season, you thought the Texans were one of the bottom feeders right there with them. But now, with what C.J. Stroud showed, you're right. This is a team that you can at least, if you're a Texans fan, have the fantasy of this team might win the division, which is an insane thing to say 14 days ago.
Somebody said that out loud. I just heard it on the radio. It could happen. The Texans could win that division.
It's not crazy.
It's really not crazy. It's really not. And the reason is because they've got the right attitude from the coaching standpoint with everything that Ryan's has brought in. But boy, they got some leaders out there that look forward to Sunday but set the tone throughout the entire week for that organization. The expectation and the bar that C.J. Stroud has and the accountability that he holds his teammates to. And then on the other side of the ball, Will Anderson Jr. I mean, it's draft night. Everybody criticized, boy, why did they move up to three and pick those two guys? It really doesn't take much. You get a couple of studs in there, you can transform your entire roster and game day experience.
It is interesting to think about the top three guys taken. Well, I guess top three quarterbacks taken in the first four picks. Right now, I think C.J. Stroud is looking like the class of that group. Bryce Young has barely gotten his legs underneath him. He struggled. He missed the game last week. And look, the Panthers have nothing around him. They are not setting him up to succeed. And then Anthony Richardson actually has shown some flashes. I thought he showed some real flashes yesterday. Look, I like all those three quarterbacks. But right now, C.J. Stroud certainly is head and shoulders above the rest.
He has thrown for 1,212 yards through 4 weeks without an interception. It's mind-blowing. Like, you couldn't draft that or script that in any scenario. So,
and he's doing it behind a patchwork offensive line.
Absolutely.
The offensive line is riddled with injuries up and down the line, and yet they figured out how to get the ball out of his hands quickly. And we're watching Nico Collins become a star wide receiver in this league right before our eyes.
That's absolutely right. And in terms of Bryce Young, who you referenced a moment ago, boy, that's some tough sledding right there. You're absolutely right. And you see a quarterback in decisions. If the number one option isn't there, he just doesn't have the poise or confidence just yet to find that second option and where to go with the ball. He's holding on to the ball. You saw the fumble and the touchdown against him yesterday. Some tough sledding there in Carolina. With Bryce Young, looks like the Texans got the right guy.
Yeah, they definitely look like they've gotten the right guy. The only thing that Anthony Richardson has, I think you put a good bow on Bryce Young, where it's not yet with Bryce Young. He just doesn't look ready yet. Anthony Richardson has been good, but he's been good in flashes. The difference is C.J. Stroud has been good game to game to game. The consistency that he's shown, that's what, to me, sets him apart. And like you said, head and shoulders ahead of the rest of the rookie quarterbacks.
All right, the Cowboys got a big win over the Patriots, and they're going to face the 49ers next week in a huge showdown. When we come back, we're going to look at what the Cowboys did against the Patriots and can they carry it forward against the 49ers next week. That up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios,
here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back on a show we're calling The Boss and the Bubba. The Bubba being Craig Larson sitting next to me. We've got Sean Mapes behind the glass. And we were talking the first segment about what a topsy-turvy NFL season it is, a week-to-week season. It seems each week there's a different team that we think is the most impressive in the league. Look, after 2 weeks, it might have been the Cowboys. They were riding high with their two amazing wins where their defense totally dominated. After 3 weeks, after the Cowboys had fallen to the Cardinals, it was the Miami Dolphins. They were the team that were the top of the league. After 4 weeks, I guess we'd have to say San Francisco, maybe Buffalo. I mean, you've got the Eagles still undefeated. But right now, we're sitting in a world where this week we're going to get to match up between the Cowboys and the 49ers, two iconic teams in a great, great rivalry, Cowboys and 49ers. And the last two seasons, of course, the Cowboys had great seasons in the regular season. They finished 12-5. But both of these last 2 years, they fell to the 49ers in the playoffs. And when Dak Prescott was asked about the matchup this week and how he felt about the 49ers, you could see the emotion in his head about the 49ers.
Do you think they'll be ready? I mean, that's always the question with the Cowboys, whether or not they're ready, whether or not they've truly learned the lesson of a week ago in Glendale and that lackluster performance. I mean, can they take that and apply that and play with the same emotion and intensity as they did yesterday, not only this upcoming week at Levi Stadium, but going forward this season? That's always the question with Dallas, is which team is going to show up week to week.
And I like their chances to meet the moment, not because this is a, you know, rivalry game from back in the 90s with Deion Sanders and Charles Haley switching. This is a rivalry that the last 2 years, the team that has knocked the Dallas Cowboys out of the playoffs, San Francisco 49ers. This is a team where those guys in that locker room are going to be taking this game seriously. And it's a game between two of the best three teams in the NFC, maybe the top two teams in the NFC. And I think that's why this going to be I have very high hopes for this game.
You know, in a league of parity, it is interesting in the NFC. It does feel like these three teams, the Eagles, 49ers and Cowboys, have set themselves apart from the rest of that conference. It's hard to see another team anywhere close. And to be sure, on any given Sunday, the Commanders, for instance, played the Eagles really well yesterday. The Cardinals upset the Cowboys last week. There are always those week-to-week things, but when we look to a full season, a sustained set of games, it does feel like those three stand apart when you look at just the talent on the roster. And Craig, to your question about will the Cowboys show, will they be ready? Goodness, if not now, when? I mean, this is the 49ers. This is the best team in the league right now with a 4-0 record. Cowboys should be fired up.
Well, they should be, but even with that 35-point destruction of New England, to me, just looking at it outside looking in, it was more about New England collapsing and the mistakes that they made. Yes, Dallas capitalized, but red zone efficiency, and Dak spoke a little bit about that postgame. They have to be more efficient in the red zone if they really are going to go toe-to-toe. San Francisco, of course, has the ability from an offensive standpoint to put a lot of points on the board. And to me, if you're Dallas, if they can't get after Purdy, get him out of his comfort zone and natural rhythm, apply that pressure. They've been sending the dogs, if you will, from all different angles, all different what have you. They've got to get after Purdy. And I candidly don't know how you keep McCaffrey out of the end zone. I mean, he's a touchdown machine right now.
One of the things he does so well is, and this will be a look, the Cowboys are going to send the house. They're going to really try to put pressure on Purdy. You're right. Because once Purdy gets into a rhythm, then we're in trouble. Then the Cowboys are going to struggle. And that 49ers offense has so many weapons that they're going to try to get a good pass rush. But Christian McCaffrey is so good at, one, picking up blitzes on blocks. He can do that. Slipping out of the backfield for a short reception that he can turn into a big gain. And, of course, the 49ers would like to be able to establish the run. That sets up all their play action that they do out of the Mike Shanahan offense or Kyle Shanahan offense. And when we go back to those playoff victories, the 49ers won those games because they were able to run against the Cowboys' defense. And the Cowboys' defense has shown us that they're much better at stopping the pass, stopping quarterbacks who are going to throw the ball a lot. They love the Cowboys' defense is built to get after the passer and to cover the receivers, but probably less so to stop the run. And the 49ers are going to come out running the ball, so that will be a huge battlefront in this matchup.
And I think it's really going to – listen, sometimes you can lose but still win, right? Isn't that what Rosie Perez said in White Men Can't Jump? Sometimes when you lose, you really win. The Cowboys can really win even if they come up short, as long as they don't lose the game because of Dak decision-making. Okay, we don't want old Dak rearing his ugly head. And we don't want a repeat of what materialized 2 weeks ago, or a week ago rather, in Glendale. If the 49ers rack up 200-plus accumulated rushing yards and they just get beat to the punch, that is a devastating way to lose for the Cowboys. Or if Dak becomes Dak the turnover machine, trying to do too much in a primetime setting and trying to overcome the two playoff losses and all of that in one given night.
Yeah, and if I'm Dan Quinn, if I'm especially any member of that defensive coaching staff, that's what I'm – tell, that's what I'm beating into these guys this week, is that you can't have a repeat of what happened in Arizona or the last time that you played the 49ers, where if you're Dallas, you don't have to have a good run defense most games. You don't actually have to have a good run defense. They are a great defense that, like you said, is mainly in the focused on the passing area. But for next Saturday, or for this coming Sunday, they need to be a great run defense. You need to do it once. You can't let, like Arizona did 2 weeks ago, they run for over 200 yards against you, and they really send a message just from a physicality standpoint. And you know who else also loves to send messages from a physicality standpoint in the running game? The San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to, they have to be ready for not just the bright lights, it's going to be a primetime game. They have to be ready for the physical dominance that the Niners are going to try to impose on them.
Think about the week that we're set up for here. You've got Oklahoma, Texas. You've got baseball playoffs. You've got Cowboys 49ers on Sunday Night Football. I tell you, October might be the best month on the entire sports calendar, but this week specifically, wow.
You're not going to leave your couch. You'll be watching all these games.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be a lot of pizza and a lot of football watching.
Yeah, October is by far, or for my money, because of what you just listed, the best month of the sports calendar. And this might be the best week. I haven't actually looked at the rest of October. I'm just going to declare it that this coming October weekend is going to be the best weekend in sports all year.
Well, rounding out that Cowboys run defense, I thought one encouraging thing for the Cowboys is after they were clearly beat up by the Cardinals and the Cardinals had their way with them running the ball, it was clear what Bill Belichick wanted to do. He wanted to establish the run. He wanted to use the run to set up play action for Mac Jones. And the Cowboys shut down the run very, very effectively. And, of course, the Patriots have some pretty good running backs, not the least of which was Ezekiel Elliott returning to face the Cowboys. But the Cowboys' defense was stout enough for the Patriots. We'll see how they fare against the 49ers next week.
What did you think of Zeke in that Patriot uniform? I guess I'd seen it once or twice this year, but I can't get my head around that.
They did make a kind of a big deal about it on the, you know, before the game and early in the broadcast of, like, Zeke making his return. We're talking to Dak how Zeke's probably going to be emotional. They show a tribute video and all that. And, yeah, it was a little – it's still weird to see him in a jersey that isn't a Cowboys jersey.
I mean, on Dallas, he'd be one of a handful of players. On New England, given their lack of overall playmakers,
they need him.
they probably need him more than any other team in the league. This is the third time in three straight years that New England has started 1-3.
Well, the problem, New England needs some speed. There's no team speed there. And unfortunately, Zeke doesn't really bring a lot of speed to the table anymore. He's a good hammer up the middle. But the Patriots are lacking weapons on the outside, and that really enabled the Cowboys' defense to man up on the receivers and then put a lot of guys in the box. And when they can do that, they're going to shut down that run.
So let's say New England finishes 6-11, 7-10. How long do you give Belichick a pass?
Whew, we're going to have to come back to that question because, well, let's do that in another segment because it's a fascinating question. Robert Kraft is probably getting a little bit antsy. It's going to be a fun one. But what we've got coming in our studio today is the great Nate Griffin. He is a longstanding sports anchor on KRIV here in Houston. And we're going to pick his brain about all things Houston Texans and college sports and the Astros. Lots going on in Houston. And one of the things I'm looking forward to asking Nate, well, when we come back, we're going to note that J.J. Watt was celebrated for his great Texans career yesterday. I want to ask Nate how J.J. ranks amongst the best athletes in Houston sports history. That'll be up here next on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. I am David Gao, absent Carla Dawson, to my great regret. But I am joined by the great Nate Griffin. He is the Houston-based sports analyst for KRIV, Fox 26, here in Houston. Nate, great to have you here. Thanks for coming in studio.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure to be here. And I tell you what, anytime I can get on the radio with you, it's going to be fun.
Awesome. Well, look, you've been covering Houston sports and a variety of stories for over 25 years. Yesterday in Houston, Texas, it was a special day at the Texans game. J.J. Watt was put up in the Ring of Honor. His jersey was retired. And when I think about that moment and all the emotion that went in behind that, it's fun to recall a lot of iconic athletes in Houston sports history, from certainly Olajuwon and Earl Campbell and Warren Moon and Elvin Hayes and Bagwell and Biggio. Where does J.J. rank, or what makes him special in that pantheon of great athletes?
Wow, that's one heck of a good question, because you have, like you mentioned, you have a lot of great athletes from Houston who play for Houston teams. You go back to the Houston Oilers, you think about, as you mentioned, Earl Campbell. You think about the 34s, right? Nolan Ryan, Earl Campbell, and then you also have Akeem Olajuwon. You've got the 34s, and then you have the great quarterbacks, Warren Moon. You just wonder, wow, where do we place him? But I think when you look at the big picture in terms of what he was able to do, the swing is which one of these people actually brought a championship to the city of Houston, right? So you have to look at the Rockets. Akeem Olajuwon was able to get that done. But then J.J. Watt, what he did not only as a player but as a human being, as understanding what Houston was about during Hurricane Harvey, the millions that he raised to help this city, the hundreds of thousands that he helped overall, he definitely ranks in the top five. There's no doubt about it. A lot of people would probably say one, but I have to say top five, because when you look back, you cannot discount history, but when you look back, you have to remember what everyone else did, especially the Rockets, in terms of bringing two championships to the city.
Yeah, to me, Olajuwon and bringing that championship, when he got his first championship here, Olajuwon did, I almost didn't believe it. I'd been living in Houston all my life, and it didn't seem like a championship was possible to get in the city of Houston. And so Olajuwon deserves a ton of credit for that. And no, J.J. didn't get the championship, but you're right. His off-the-field contributions as well won the hearts of so many fans. The way that he stepped up and became sort of the face of Houston in its recovery and its need to raise money for many people who were kicked out of their homes in the midst of Harvey. J.J. will be remembered for that,
forever. There's no question. The legacy that he leaves in this city, the legacy that Bum Phillips left in this city, so many great people that you think about when you talk about leaving legacies. Now, to me, he left the biggest legacy because of the amount of people that he helped. He helped a lot of people here in Houston. They're still doing it. So I think when you think of it that way, certainly he is the one who's contributed the most to the folks here in the city of Houston.
Okay, let's go back to the on-the-field action yesterday. Texans with a big win. They've actually won two in a row. And C.J. Stroud is turning heads all across the league.
I love what C.J. said yesterday in the post game. He said that people in the city of Houston should feel pride wearing the Texans gear.
Woo, it's been a long time since that's been the case.
It's been a long time, and I know that, you know, I was thinking about, well, when J.J. Watt was playing, people took pride in wearing jersey number 99. But this is a young man who is a rookie and says to the city and the country, you should take pride in wearing your Texans gear. And I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he's absolutely right. He actually started his statement by saying, I've been thinking about this for a while now. And it's really, really good to see a young player come in, dominate the way that he has. And you can see he gets better with every snap and with every throw. Yesterday, threw for over 300 yards. But what was great about that, he did it in a win. And he did it with a bunch of players. He distributed the ball to a lot of guys yesterday in that offense. And it's really, really good to see Slowick's offense come to pass.
Slowick deserves a lot of credit. Frankly, I mean, when you look at that offensive line yesterday, it was all beat up.
Yep.
The way he schemed on the blocking to keep T.J. Watt out of the backfield, the way C.J. Stroud was releasing the ball so quickly, everything was clicking. When I step back from it, they're getting great coaching now. I can't say that was true several years ago. But Slowick on the offensive side of the ball has been impressive. And D'Amico on the defensive side of the ball, who's done the more impressive job thus far?
Between
D'Amico on the defensive side and Slowick on the offensive side.
Because
both of those
question,
two guys
David.
Have really coached well.
You know what? That's hard to say. I think that they're working in tandem.
Yes.
You know, like the previous coach talked about complementary football.
Yep.
You have special teams, you have offense, and you have defense. All three have to work together for you to really be good. And I think, you know, they still have some ways to go. But in terms of how well they have played so far, defense normally carries a team for the first part of the season because it's always quicker to come together, especially in training camp. When you have a young rookie quarterback still trying to find his way, and we saw that in the preseason, right? We saw that in the first three games. Oh, boy, you know, just how good is he going to be?
Yep.
But you can kind of tell in the first preseason game, he's got a shot to be pretty good. There's no question. And what we're seeing now is a very, very fast progression of learning. The way he's watched film. We know he's watches film. He does this all the time. He studies the opposition. We know that. We know this. He talks about that all the time. So I think when you put it all together, this is a young man who's really, really putting his game together, and it's really, really turning out well for the Houston Texans.
I mean, one guy who stood out to me yesterday was Nico Collins, yeah. who really seems to be growing up right before our eyes. His body type, the way he moves, he reminds me of Devontae Smith, who was much more heralded coming out of college, but they look like similar players to me. And the impact of Collins on the field has been really special.
Nico's a 6'3", 210, 15-pound receiver. Yesterday had 7 receptions for 168 yards and 2 touchdowns. I think C.J. Stroud has found his go-to guy.
Why not?
But then there's also Tank Dell.
Then there's Tank Dell.
When you need, you know, when you need to go over the top and beat a defense, Tank Dell's your guy. Nico Collins, anywhere from 15 yards out, he's your guy. So you've got your intermediate receiver in Nico Collins. You've got your go guy in Tank Dell. And so you've got a nice combination of receivers, not to mention Robert Woods. And we also saw Dalton Schultz mm-hmm. have a nice game yesterday. 3 catches yesterday for 42 yards, so it was good to see. And a touchdown, so it was good to see him also mixed up in that offense.
Well, yes, because he was an integral part of that Cowboys offense last year and has had several good seasons there. I thought we'd see more out of him with the Texans. No complaints in the last 2 games, but it was good to see Schultz get his hands on the ball. And of course, the other thing they did well was get Pierce running the ball early. And when Pierce can run the ball, it sets up play action and just gives many more options to that offense.
Damian Pierce had 24 carries for 81 yards, a tough 81 yards.
You bet.
And there's a guy who he reminds me of. I hate to say it. People would probably say, blasphemy! You know, if I mention Earl Campbell. He runs. Oh,
blasphemy! What are you saying? You can't do that.
He runs hard.
Yes, he does.
Like Earl Campbell.
Yes, he does.
Just a smaller version, but he really runs hard. Runs hard in the crowd, runs tough between the tackles. It's great to see that. And he's not Earl Campbell, but he is a very, very tough-minded running back, and you can see it on the field. Very, very work ethic-like running back. You can see it on the field.
So on the defensive side of the ball, the other highly touted rookie, of course, Will Anderson, whom they took number 3 overall. What are your impressions of Will Anderson thus far, 4 games into the season?
He's a beast. He is a beast. Coming off that edge, you can place him anywhere. And the thing that I think he is that the Texans haven't had since, you know, a real healthy J.J. Watt is that guy.
Yep.
He's going to be that big guy that teams will have to prepare for every week. We're starting to see it. We saw it yesterday. We saw a sample of it, you know, the week before against Jacksonville. We're starting to see more of that guy mm-hmm. sort of help to dominate games. He is going to be the kind of guy who dominates games and, again, will be the guy that teams have to prepare for. That allows other players to play well and do their thing.
We're talking to Nate Griffin. He is a sports analyst for KRIV Fox TV here in Houston. So the Texans are now 2-2. They're in a very weak division in the AFC South. And when you look at their schedule the rest of the way, there's not a juggernaut on there. They're not going to play the Dolphins, the Chiefs, the 49ers, the Cowboys. They're not playing any of the tough teams. Look, when the season began, I might have thought 5 wins, 6 wins would be a good season for them. But when you look at those teams remaining on the schedule, I'm going to take the over. I think Vegas at the beginning of the year was saying 6 wins was the number. But I think they've got a chance to win 5 more and get over to 7.
Interesting you say that. I'm looking at the schedule. Atlanta. Can they beat Atlanta? At Atlanta. Pretty good team over there in Atlanta. Can they beat them? Yes. Can they beat the Saints? Yes. Can they beat Carolina? Yes. Can they beat Tampa Bay? Yes. Cincinnati. Cincinnati's having some real problems.
You bet.
We don't know what's going to happen with Joe Burrow. We saw what happened with him last year. He's not healthy. Are they going to sit him for a little while before they finally decide to play him? Arizona, can they be? You got a number of teams on here, as you mentioned. These teams are beatable, winnable games. The Jets have a really, really good defense. But you can't go by the rest of the teams and say, yeah, they'll just run roughshod over the rest of the teams. We still have to see what kind of teams Texas is going to be. But so far, they've been good.
We've got Nate Griffin in studio. When we come back, I want to ask some about just some college football. There's a big one coming up, OU Texas this weekend, the Red River rivalry.
Yes.
We'll get to that next when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and joining me here in studio is Nate Griffin. He hosts sports. He's a sports analyst for KRIV Houston Television. Now, Nate, we're sitting in Houston, and there's a whole lot of football happening all around us. The biggest, of course, the college football game this Saturday will be OU and Texas, the Red River rivalry. Very excited about that matchup. Both teams coming in undefeated, which just amps this game up radically. Of course, Texas beat Alabama and ascended up the polls. They're a contender for the CFP. But if Oklahoma wins this game, they too jump right into the mix. What are you looking for in this game? What should we expect?
I tell you what, I really like Texas this year. I like what Coach Sarkisian has been able to do with that team.
Yep.
And we actually played Texas the first game of the season. We traveled there to Austin. I didn't realize how good that defense was. Mm. I didn't realize how good Ewers was, quarterback. All of a sudden, we start to see this guy throw to his receivers. The kid, A.D. Mitchell, who played part of his high school ball at Ridge Point, also played at Georgia, was a portal transfer to Texas, and they are really, really good. They have a run game. They have a passing game. They have a great defense. And now Texas is ranked, I believe, number 3 in the country.
You bet.
Still, which kind of surprises me. But I think when you look at Oklahoma and how they've been able to sort of turn things around with a brand-new head football coach, what am I looking for in this game? I'm looking to see how well Texas's defense holds up against Oklahoma's offense. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, it's interesting because Dillon Gabriel had a very good game last week against Iowa State. Sooners put up 50 points. Some of them were defensive points. But when I look at these two teams, I think they look sort of similar to me. Dillon Gabriel and Quentin Ewers strike me as similar level quarterbacks. I think Longhorns would disagree with me, would put Ewers ahead of Gabriel. But I think they're similar level quarterbacks, and then defensively, the Sooners have more of an attitude than they've had in past years defensively. Brett Venables, obviously a defensive quarterback, or a defensive coach. I mean, you go back, it was just 2 years ago, Lincoln Riley was there. They had Caleb Williams. They were a high-flying offense. They were a Big 12-type offense, but they were always struggling defensively. Their mode back then was try to outscore everyone. Then along comes Venables, and he's putting a defense in there that's at least credible, and the offenses move the ball pretty well. I think it's going to be a really good matchup this year. It has seemed over the last 8 to 10 years that one of the two teams would be riding high and the other was riding low. But this year, I think they're both ascendant, which I think makes it a really compelling game this week.
Well, I think you're right about Dillon Gabriel. He's at the top of the Big 12's QBR rankings. Guy's completing 82.5% of his passes.
Impressive.
That's impressive. Now, what Ewers has done, though, you notice he's dropped some weight.
Yep.
He got rid of the beard, got rid of the mullet.
Well, that was great regret. I mean, there was something about that mullet was special.
Yes. And so what he's doing now, he's lighting up the scoreboard, throwing the football. He understands his offense very well. And I think Sarkisian has done a nice job in terms of being able to transition him from what he wanted to be to what he is now.
Yep.
And so we're seeing a very, very good quarterback versus Dillon Gabriel. Now, Ewers versus Gabriel, you know Ewers is going to try to come in this game and he wants to compete. He wants to show that he's the better quarterback of the two. But I think when you put these two teams together, which one is better, and you talked about, you know, Oklahoma's defense and what they've been able to get done, you got Venables, who is a defensive specialist, defensive coordinator coming from Clemson. That's what he does. You also have Steve Sarkisian, offensive specialist. OC, that's what he does. You put these two teams together, I think Texas wins this game by three.
By three. You heard it here from Nate Griffin joining us here in studio from KRIVTB. I want to ask you about another big game, the Aggies hosting Alabama. And that's going to be a game that Jimbo Fisher, he really needs to have this win. He's not had a big signature win like this. What does it take for the Aggies to beat Alabama at home?
First of all, Alabama is not the same Alabama that they were.
Yeah, they don't look like they were the last few years.
But you got a young guy at quarterback playing for Alabama who played his high school ball at Katy Tompkins.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically playing at home. So how good will Alabama be this year at Texas A&M? I think Texas A&M has a shot to beat Alabama.
I do too.
This week.
At home, I think they really do. And that environment at home in College Station is electric. Those fans, the Aggie fans, are over the top. And I think they bring something. That 12th man will bring something to this game. It's worth a few points.
I mean, what'd you say?
Well, I'm gonna go with the Aggies at home. I want the upset.
You want the upset?
Yeah.
I think the upset is definitely doable.
I'm betting with my heart more than my head on that one. But I would love to see the Aggies get a win. It's been a long time, and it just feels like Jimbo Fisher's overdue for a good win.
You may be right on that. Jimbo Fisher has been struggling, if you will, to impress the Aggies fans as well as the national media, I think, in terms of being – when you think about what he had, the resources that he has at Texas A&M, he has the same kind of resources at A&M as any other top 10 program in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to get it done there.
So the National College Football Championship will be played here in Houston on January 8th. And, of course, we're living here in Houston amongst a whole bunch of Longhorn fans that would just love to see those Longhorns make it to the Final Four here in their home city. Now, the Longhorns have got to get through Oklahoma. But if they do, I think they've got a really good chance to run the table and get into the CFP. I think this is the big one for them. If they can get through Oklahoma, I think they've got a really good shot at fulfilling the dreams of these local Longhorn fans.
Oklahoma, and remember who your top four are. You've got Georgia, Michigan, Texas, and Ohio State.
Yep.
And Florida State's playing some really good football this year as well. Oklahoma is right now ranked number 12.
Right.
Can they get past Oklahoma? Sure.
Sure.
I think they can. Can they get to the top four? Can they be one of the top four in the CFP? Sure they can. Now, it would be 1-4, 2-3. If it stood as it is right now today, it would be Georgia versus Ohio State, Michigan versus Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're looking at. So can Texas
that
get to the –
That could stick right there. Those four teams stick. Do look elite, at least for this season.
It could stick, and after this it goes to a much larger CFP. But I think when you look at these four teams, Georgia, Michigan, Texas, and Ohio State, who's going to be able to get into that top four? Texas is not dropping out.
You heard it here. We'll see. A big one this weekend really determines it. Also, while we're talking a little bit of Houston sports, want to ask you, I mean, this was a tough loss for the University of Houston this past weekend, falling to Tech in Lubbock. Do you see any scenario where Dana Holgorsen doesn't make it beyond this season? Is his job really now at risk?
It could be. I hate to say it, but it could be.
Yeah.
Like Dana, I think he's done a phenomenal job at the University of Houston. This was a very, very tough loss, and now you're in a new conference in the Big 12. You're expected to win in that conference, and you're trying to set your foot. You're trying to set your footprint in this conference. Has the University of Houston been able to do it yet? Not yet. I think when you look at the other side of the board in terms of resources, and they're looking at a brand-new stadium next season, but they've got to be able to do it on the field. Now, we know that Kelvin Sampson's done it on the basketball court.
Yep.
He's prepared well for that. But has the University of Houston football team done it on the field? Not yet. There could be a little bit of pressure on him right now, on Dana Holgorsen.
Mm. Okay, let me shift gears because we're sitting here in Houston and the MLB playoffs now starting. Astros won their division.
Yep.
They made people sweat. They've had a tough last month. But the Astros now positioned for the postseason, and we see the brackets and how they're going to unfold. Astros, by winning the division, get to sit out and rest. Can the defending champs go deep into the playoffs, and can they go and bring home another title for Houston?
The Baltimore Orioles right now are playing really, really good baseball.
Yeah, they're impressive.
You got to be able to get past the Baltimore Orioles. And I think the Astros certainly have an opportunity. When you look at who they have to play, you're looking at the Twins, I believe. So can the Astros get it done again this season? I love what Dusty Baker has done with this team. When you start the season with only two-fifths of your pitching staff, you missed McCullers. You don't have Luis Garcia and Urquidy.
Yep.
So you're missing three-fifths of your World Series championship. Then in your batting order, you lose Michael Brantley, a pivotal piece in your batting order. Not only that, but you're trying to determine which guys you're actually going to use in the batting order. You got a young guy in Yiner Diaz who came on late in the season. Everybody's kind of balking because he's not playing, thinking that he would be a better option than Martin Maldonado at catcher. Well, we saw that Martin Maldonado was the better option. Long story short, can the Astros get it? I trust in Dusty, but I tell you what, they're going to have to do a phenomenal job.
He's Nate Griffin, and I really appreciate Nate. Thanks so much for coming in. Really great to have your insights here in studio.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from John Granato, a local show host here in Houston as well. That up next here on Sports Map Radio.
Como madre orgullosa, siempre quiero lo mejor para mi familia. Y los únicos huevos que compro son Eggland's Best. ¿Casualidad? ¡Para nada! No importa cómo los cocines, siempre están frescos y deliciosos. Además, tienen más vitaminas D y E y un 25% menos de grasas saturadas que los huevos comunes. ¿Por qué conformarse con menos cuando puedes tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos. Visita egglandsbest.com para obtener más información.
Start managing your data, not your infrastructure. Unified, simple, secure. Welcome to Data Done Right. Only with the Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.